Well, it's a real privilege to be here to talk to you all, so thank you for coming. Again, I'm going to add a little bit of introduction so you can sort of see the person behind the message. I really felt tonight that I wanted to share from 1 Samuel 17. David is a real key figure for me. I think the two scriptural characters that I relate the most to are probably David and Joseph. And I want to talk to you this evening briefly just on the subject of the anointing. It's a message that I've really, since I've come to faith, it's something that God's really pressed on my heart to come to a better understanding of. And I just felt it was something that he highlighted again this evening to share with. So, like I said to you, I came up to the Northeast in 2006, was it? 2005, to be correct. And the one thing that I recognised was that when I first came to church, I wasn't what you would call your typical churchgoer. You know, I look a lot different now than I did back then. I used to shave my head every morning religiously. I had big earrings, caps, tracksuit, sock hat. You know, very, very different to how I probably look today. But me and my wife actually came back from the cinema last night, was it? Last night, we finished watching Aladdin. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the story of Aladdin. But I actually, in a strange way, kind of relate a little bit to that story as well, which is Aladdin was a lovable rogue who was on a terrible journey, stealing and so on. But there was, you know, if you take the magic out of it, there was kind of a calling on him. He was the diamond in the rough, and he ended up being the one who found the lamp, and we know the rest of the story. But I think that there's something about the heart of God to recognise what's in our heart before anyone else can see it. And I recognise that in coming to faith, that despite all of my seeming things that would prevent me from stepping into that life, he saw something in my heart which was very different to how others would have perceived those things. And I'm always really grateful to God for that. And I always, in our own service this morning, we were talking about the remembrance of God, the things that God calls us to remember. And, you know, I never want to forget the place that God saved me from, because, you know, it's a real place that he really rescued me from. But anyway, going on to the story, and I'm just going to put this on so I can keep to time. So that way I don't want to drift off. So I want to just briefly talk about the heart, Jenny. So in this story, as Richard so wonderfully read, I think you would do amazing to come and speak to our kids at night, read the bedtime stories. You're a lot more animated than I am with the stories. I was enthralled. I felt like I was listening to it for the first time. Very good.
Well, I used to be a junior school teacher.
Is that right? There you go. There's a reason in it. That's great. So in this story, and again, forgive me if I'm being unconventional. I actually just had sort of notes I was going to take and just pocket points from it rather than one specific point. But it's nonetheless the part that I want to focus in on, where David is called out from a place of obscurity, relative obscurity. He's in a place where he recognises that it's all about just looking after the sheep. It's the small things. And yet in that place, a prophet of God is sent to that place and recognises that God wants to anoint the next king. So we find the story where Samuel comes, and we called our son, who's just been born 8 weeks ago, Isaac Samuel, because we wanted to have him to be a man who listened to the voice of God. But Samuel, when he stands before the brothers and the lineup is brought, even Samuel says, "Behold, it must be this one. So there's a propensity in us to look at the outward. And I think my emphasis tonight would be about the fact that God sees the heart within us, and it's not about the surface. So in that place he calls and says, you know, surely Eliab is the one, or surely this one. And we find it whittling down all to the point where David is called, and then the Lord speaks and says, this is the one we are to anoint. So God looks only at our hearts. And I think it's important because I feel like on my journey of faith, it's more important for me to find that I'm more careful with my heart than I am with my footsteps. So finding the will of God for me has been very much a place where I've recognised the doors that God's opened, as opposed to trying to work out, in a sense, of the place where I'm to go. And actually, if I find those places where God has opened the greatest doors of influence, it's often been in the place where I've looked solely at my heart, when I've looked at the journey of my heart. And God desires for each one of us to have doors of opportunity to open for us. And I really want to share a little bit on that tonight, because for each of us here, there is, as we all know, a unique calling. We're all called to a different sphere of influence. We're all called to a different people. But God is not waiting for calendar days to be ticked off in order for those times to come. He's waiting for our heart, and he's waiting for our heart response. So the first point is, God looks at our heart. Second is, in what we do, we are to look after the small things. So David comes from a place of looking after the sheep. You know, feels like quite a meaningless task, really. I've not spoke to any shepherds. I don't know what that's like. It's not something that really floats my boat. But in that place of faithfulness, which is what we prayed earlier, you know, I can see in this place there's a tremendous faithfulness that you guys have. And I'm sure many of you have been walking with the Lord a lot longer than I have. But the thing that God looks for in order to release anointing is faithfulness. And I want to encourage you, just in that place of being faithful, that God really wants to open up something as a result of staying in that place. So he takes care of the sheep. And God knows in his heart the reason why he chooses them because of that trait is because that's how David will eventually treat the people of Israel. And he looks at them as sheep, and we know that his heart is very much a fatherly heart towards his people, just as God has towards Israel himself. So don't despise small beginnings. You know, this is a word God spoke to me very early on in my walk, and I often try and hold that place of recognizing that there is a place where God wants to elevate us to, but that is in the timing of the Lord to do that. It's not for us to push the door. And I often say that favour lies on the handle on the outside, where God wants to release those opportunities, but in that place of obedience for us, that's when God will release those opportunities. And my third point, and this is one I kind of want to pause on just for a second, and then I'll go back to the text to bring things together. So I feel when you're anointed, again, the anointing for me would just represent God's power in our lives, you know, him doing things on our behalf, things that we cannot do in our own strength. You know, I'm aware that we're all probably familiar with these terms, but that's how I see it. And in the place of being anointed, I find that that the opportunities will come to us. So again, to kind of talk a little bit from my own experience of this, I've tried a million things, and my wife will tell you, I'm a very much a type A personality. So I'm a get up and go, and when I'm on a task, I'm like, drill down until it's finished. So she's forever telling me off, because when we do decorating jobs, what would take most people 2-3 months, I normally do in a week, and I normally spend 6 a.m. till 2 a.m. straight out decorating, 4 hours sleep, up again, and I just want to get it all done. So that's my, would you vouch for that? No? So sometimes I get told off because my wife needs a little bit of time to just let things settle and so on, and I'm just like, next coat of paint. I'm in the middle of decorating our offices at the moment, which is a bit ironic in that. But in this place, I found that there is traits in me which can sometimes work out of my own efforts and my own doing and so on. So I could tell you many stories of where, for example, just last week, to tell you a fresh case, we painted the main office halls, and I got some guys in to do it, and I've been given a set budget by the boss, and we've done it all out, and there's a lady who's a designer who's come in to kind of consult on certain things, and I'd got the colours, but I hadn't had a chance to bring her in, but I said, we're just going to do it anyway, just get it up, because it was round about the right colour. Anyway, lo and behold, we put it up after a full day's work with 3 staff. It's the wrong colour. So I recognise that there are times that I miss the anointing, to use a very practical example. But I do know that there are times when I have worked with the anointing, and it just feels different to me, and it's felt very much like God has blown upon something, and opened a door which I wouldn't otherwise have been able to open up. And I'll just give you two very quick examples of this. So with me coming to the Northeast, I didn't have any qualifications. Like I said, I dabbled in drugs for a while. It wasn't like a profession as such. It was just from where I came from. People did it on the side. You had a job, you did drugs. And so it was more of that type of lifestyle for me. And I didn't have any real grades. I had GCSEs, but I went to A-levels and I just flunked my A-levels. So when I was in Leeds at the time, I went to a course. I applied for a course in advertising. Now, I had no idea about advertising, and for me it felt a little bit just like, you know, just trying anything. But this is where it shows you how God sees even these small things in our hearts. So I picked a course at random, and then from that place went to apply without knowing that there were 200 applicants applying for 20 positions in this high esteem pilot course by this top advertising guru, David Anderson, etc. I knew nothing of this. I just thought, yeah, picked out a book, that sounds good, I'll try it. Had no qualifications. So anyway, so there's a process called clearing in universities, which are often used, so if you don't make up the grades, but you can find other ways to get your way into the course. So so I went through clearing, and basically my clearing grades were not even up to the bottom level. But the guy still offered me an interview, so I went up on the Friday, arrived there, and was told that David left probably an hour before that. So obviously I was quite frustrated, put my name down anyway, said to the guy who was there, can you tell him that I came? I'm happy to have a rearranged interview, because I was a bit of a blagger at the time. I thought, I'll just talk my way onto the course. Anyway, about a week later, I got a letter saying, congratulations, you've been accepted on the course. So I thought, fantastic. The first day of the course arrived, and he said to a group of people, probably a little bit more than this, congratulations, well done on getting through your grueling interview series with two or three interviews. You're the pick of the bunch, and the reason you got here is solely on the strength of your interviews. Obviously, I hadn't had one single interview. But I was on the course for 2 years, and it was great. I met lots of people. As a result of that course, I met someone who then brought me up to the Northeast, where I became a Christian. And that, for me, felt like it was God kind of navigating my life behind the scenes. But he saw in my heart, I was always seeking after truth. The second example was my job. So I work in a media company, as I've said. And there was a friend of mine, well, he's now a friend of mine, who was at the church that I just got to. And this is, so you're talking maybe 2007, so time before smartphones, etc. And me and my cousin had made some videos on a phone, playing with Nerf guns, and we'd done this little sequence of it together. And I showed a guy in the church, not knowing he owned a media company at the time. Hey, what do you think of this, etc. Anyway, he says, that's quite good. Have you thought about this? Have you tried this? Anyway, tells me he's got a company, ended up coming there, offered me a job. I became, in 1 year, the senior editor of that company, ended up moving on to executive producing. Then we got contracts with the BBC, started flying around the world. And it felt so strange at the time for me, because of where I'd come from. It just felt like this real strange, like, promotion, straight to a point of where I couldn't have got that without God's help. And so I'm saying these stories because I need you to know that this message is not just a message that I've pulled out. This is something that really resonates with my life and where I feel God has opened up those doors of opportunities for me. But I want to share it to you because I feel like when I was preparing, I was asking the Holy Spirit to show me the points at which God wants to do this here. And so the key thing for me in recognizing this was that there is an anointing that comes upon us for a specific task. And the anointing is about what God wants to do, not necessarily what we want to do. And so for you here, I remember hearing from a real sort of prophetic voice in my life, a good friend, who was saying how, isn't it interesting that all the people who are running the world are all above 70 at the moment? And he said that there is a time when the highest calling is stepping into that place that's been reserved by God for those positions. And I was just reminded of that today, just even in preparing, not necessarily knowing here or making a judgment on any age and so on, but I feel like there is a place where God wants to lift us into that high calling. but it is based upon the journey of our heart. My fourth point is the anointing simplifies the problem. So again, I can say many times where I often use a phrase which says it, again off a friend of mine who says, if it's too complicated, you're probably missing the Lord in it. Because he generally tends to ask us to do things that are very simple but hard, rather than complicated and easy. And I find that those places where God is opening up opportunities and opening up doors is a place where he's really simplifying what we're to do. So just finishing, I want to just pull this story together of David, because David comes into this place where he is recognizing that there is a giant which, in his own natural strength, he can't conquer. But there's a confidence in David, and the confidence is, yes, partly on his track record. He talks about the lion and the bear, but those things came after David recognized that the anointing had come upon him. And so the anointing is the difference that brings us to a point of where we can do so much more than we could in our natural strength and ability. And I'm really grateful to God for those moments, because when David looked at the Goliath, when he looked at Goliath, he had an opportunity, and our pastor is amazing. I'm kind of borrowing a little bit of this from our pastor, Ken Gott. But he talks a lot about the fact that when David went to pick up those stones, he'd already taken off Saul's armour. And I think how many times that I try and dress up myself or put myself in such a way to present a front, if you like, that people would accept, and people would come to a place of saying, well, you must be qualified in this because of this, what you've got on you, or, you know, your sword qualifies you to fight in these types of fights. And yet, the minute David puts on Saul's armour, he recognises, this is just not me. It just doesn't fit with me. It doesn't feel right for me. And I recognise this, I think, I'm trying to recognise this as best I can, because there are times when I'm trying to do something or I'm trying to be someone to get to somewhere, and it's not the right fit for me, and I have to go back and say to the Holy Spirit in that quiet place, Lord, I want to find the anointing again. I want to find a place of where I'm just in that simple place where I'm recognising it's your voice that I'm responding to. It's not me trying to save the world, change things, because actually it was a very small thing that David knew. He wasn't to take on an army, he was to take on one person, but he was to do it under the anointing. So his armour wasn't his answer, and God gave him a strategy, I believe, to pick up those five smooth stones. Who knows what the other four were for? But he chose to pick up those smooth stones and go in a place of where he was vulnerable, and he was in a place without defence, knowing that actually he had to completely, totally rely upon God for the result. And I want to encourage you here, because I don't often talk, if I'm totally honest, but I like talking to people that I don't know, because you feel like you can just sort of say what you want, and you're not worried about people's reactions. So it's good for me, because I feel encouraged that in this place where God wants to give us specific things, it is based upon our obedience. And you will all have your own levels of obedience to the things that you feel the Holy Spirit is asking you to do. And I want to encourage you today, because as you move into the things that you're asking, you know, you were talking about the building that you're potentially going to buy or going to be a part of. These things, when the anointing comes upon them, God will really open up those doors for you. And I really feel that. And so the final point I want to make as I come into land is what the anointing is for. And again, this is a real key point for me, because I think there can be a lot of the misuse of the anointing. There are people who are very gifted, as we know, with no character, who can have doors open for them and can do a lot of damage with that. But we know that David was a man who looked after his heart. He kept his heart right. He forgave Saul. You know, he forgave his brothers. He kept in a place of knowing his heart was soft before God, and he was responsive and he inquired of the Lord. And just in that real tender place, he allowed the Holy Spirit to keep ministering to him. and, you know, learning and unlearning and relearning, and there's all these things, this journey of David's heart that we can track all the way through 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. But in that place, the anointing is actually for God's purposes. And I recognise now more than ever that I feel small, I feel helpless sometimes. We're in a company where, you know, our turnaround is we have projects coming in every 4 months. And so the company, you could say in a sense, is on the verge of collapse every month. Because if we don't get the projects in, they bring in the commissions, those staff don't have wages to pay, etc. And how, the boss of the company, great Christian man, loves Jesus. And he recognises actually it's the anointing that will open up these doors of favour for him to do that. And we're in kids' TV primarily. He really wants to impact kids' TV and bring programming that really uplifts and speaks to the identity of kids and so on. So there's a great vision behind that. But the anointing in itself is to bring us to positions of influence. And I feel at the moment there's a tremendous privilege for us to recognise that we are stepping into a place where we want to impact culture. Our church is a transformation church. So we have, obviously we meet on a Sunday morning, but we have a lot of marketplace ministers in our church. And we love to empower people to actually see God in the workplace. So rather than it being even a Sunday morning gathering, the emphasis, you know, we like to empower our business leaders and marketplace leaders to actually see the miracles in the marketplace, in the places where they're working at. And which is why this is kind of real relevant to me. But in that place of influence, God desires for us to serve. And this is my final point, is that in that place of serving, God will give us people where we can be anointed next to them. And I'm really grateful to be next to my spiritual mentor, leader, father, Ken Gott, because by serving him, I've seen the anointing come and I've seen great breakthroughs come. And so, obviously, Duncan, I'm really grateful that you're here. And I believe that as people continue to serve the vision that God gives to you for this church and perhaps for this region, I really pray that God would continue to release strategy, just as David had a small, simple strategy, that it wasn't based upon how he would naturally decide that way forward. That was the thing that took it down. And from that place, not only did he topple a giant and take down the stronghold, which was a mindset against Israel, but then God moved him to a place where 10 years later he became king over the whole region. So I want to finish just by encouraging you that I really want you to take encouragement, if I keep overusing that word, from my life. I'm very much a nobody in the world's eyes, but God has really used me, and God has continued to use me, and I say that as a boast to him and his power. And I pray for you guys here, that as you move into your spheres of influence, that God would continue to give you those simple and anointed strategies.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Corey. Much in there for us to